B-Pod Studios.
What's up? Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Those two are bitches.
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox!
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb!
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb!
Wall Dick, where you at?
515-75.
Hello! Welcome to the show!
Hello!
Van Riemsdyk looking to clear. Gardner moves it up ahead of Kadri. Leafs looking to break 2-on-1 here. Kessel right side into the circle. Wrist shot. Pat Sabre-Rask. Rebound score. Nazem Kadri on the rebound. And the Leafs are up 4-1.
I think we're just famous for not doing anything the easy way. So we made it hard on ourselves again, but we found a way to get it done.
Lucic over the Leafs line, left side, driving wide. Facing him behind the net, feeds it in front. Wrist shot. Score! Nathan Horton from the left wing circle.
Let's go, Bruins!
Great shooting feed in on a Bergeron left point. Cross to Chara from the long one. Timer gloved down by Robert. Loose puck score! Milan Lucic from the bottom of the right circle. Makes it 4-3 with 1:22 left.
Hockey! We won the cup! Three for the beat!
Bergeron straight away with a right side of the score! Left save, Rask on Gardner. Right save, Rask with the right pass. Oh, what a save by Rask.
Yes.
And incredibly, we're headed for overtime in game 7.
I can't flex anymore. Freak it out, man.
And Bergeron a one-timer. Save Reimer. Rebound loose at the top of the crease. Red Sox score! Bergeron! Bergeron! In game 7! And the Bruins win the series!
To Bergeron, the drive save, rebound is loose. Sagan kicks him loose. Bergeron scores!
Bergeron! Bergeron! And then some
hockey! I haven't seen a comeback like that too often, so as far as comebacks go, that's as good as it gets.
And who has more fun than us?
Everybody, good morning. We are the Touch and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. That's right, Game 7 is tonight. Pre-game here at the station starts at 6:30, puck drops at 7.
A lot of love letters being written to Game 7s this morning, and to that I say, how about just writing a love letter to wanting to vomit during those games? Those are the I am not a fan of Game 7s when it comes to the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. Not at all. There's nothing enjoyable about them. They're miserable until they're over with, and hopefully on the other end, the Bruins have won. But this is not going to be an enjoyable evening of viewing tonight.
Yeah, I'm going out for it.
You're
going
to have to.
I don't want to. I don't want to. I want to, just get natural rest.
Mm-hmm. Good luck.
But I'm going to go out for the first two periods.
Yeah.
Then during the intermission, I'm going to walk home. And then I'm going to watch, quote unquote, watch the third, depending on what's going on. If they have a 2-goal lead, I'll watch.
That's not going to happen. It doesn't happen. Well, I mean, they were down 4-3 headed to the third period last year. I mean, it doesn't, and you saw what happened in 2013. I mean, it doesn't happen that way.
Well, then I won't watch for a while. But I will. As long as they have a 2-goal lead, I will keep it on, and I will enjoy it that way. But hopefully, there's something on Comedy Central that I can consume.
Like, I'm not licking my chops for tonight's game. I can kind of feel like, already this sense of nervousness.
No, it's pathetic. I mean, it really is pathetic that grown men are worried about something that, well, for us it matters because it helps, gives us content, but...
No, I get excited for big games.
No, but ultimately...
But Game 7 hockey is just different.
Yeah, no, ultimately, we're grown men and it's something that we can't control, and ultimately it won't affect our lives all that much, and we still make ourselves fret about it.
Like, I get excited for an NFL playoff game. Like, I actually get excited for that. It's fun. I'm really looking forward to... You know, the Patriots, when they took on Kansas City, like, that was the thing I look forward to. I'm not looking forward to tonight. And I think, I believe that seeing that the way they played in Game 6, they have a good shot at winning this game. I'm not dreading it because I think they're going to lose. I'm just dreading it because who knows what's going to happen.
You see, the fact that they played well in Game 6 has no bearing on what happens tonight.
Well, that's what we said. I mean, you don't know what team's going
to
show up.
They've alternated wins and losses the first six games of this series. They've had to win two games in Toronto to get it to this. I mean, it's just that they were dominant at home for long periods of time. They have not, during the regular season, they have not been dominant at home. Look, what happened in Game 5?
Oh,
it
yeah,
couldn't have looked worse.
They just sleptwalked. I don't even know.
And that
what
was
happened
at home. I mean, whatever happened two nights ago has no bearing on what happens tonight.
I know. It's true. It's true.
But hopefully the veterans on this team, maybe that makes a difference, but who knows? The only, it's baseball and hockey Game 7s. Like, when the Cardinals are in a Game 7, I got to turn the TV off, too, on occasion, if it's a close game. If they're up by two runs, then I feel okay.
Yeah.
And then I got to turn it off. See, football, I just get angry. Like, on the rare occasion, the Jets are in the, first of all, being a Jets fan, you immediately know they're going to lose.
Right.
In any, so it's just a nice surprise when they win.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Like when they beat the Patriots, I was just like, wow, this is crazy. And then, of course, I think they played Indianapolis the next week, and you knew they were going to lose. I mean, they'll never go to the Super Bowl. So there's some kind of there's some nice feeling about that, knowing for sure that they're going to lose.
I do love that clip, though, that we just played, the recap of that amazing 2013 come-from-behind win. It's funny hearing Kadri in there as well. I mean, you know, he's still hanging around.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that was, of course, the one where, you know, we played the audio of Jim Murray when he was down in Atlanta, Georgia at the time. And no one in Atlanta cares anything about the NHL. And he was sitting there doing his show at night. And that's, of course, when he started screaming, "Robert, you bum!" Right in the middle of his break, and nobody, I'm sure, there's not one person listening to that broadcast who had any idea what he was talking about, hearing him flip out. But that was strange. Reimer in goal. So the way it went was the three goals in the third period. It went Horton, Lucic, Patrice was the one who tied it up, and of course Bergeron at the end. It was also another thing too, as I went, I listened to Jack Edwards call of the game winner, and it's amazing how Jack went into this thing about they took the knife and they stole it out and they stuck it back in the hearts, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And as dramatic as it was, nothing beats just Dave Gosher yelling Bergeron twice. Bergeron, Bergeron, that's it. And that goes down as like an all-timer. And it's just him saying his name, and it's not like overdoing it like Jack Edwards did.
Well, Jack Edwards probably always has five speeches written out in front of him based on what goes on.
Okay, yeah, he's got the ragtag farmer speech, and that's option A. And
that's my all-time
favorite, right?
What's that?
This is the last Nesson.
Yes, this is it.
It is.
So he will have a soliloquy before the
game. Oh, sure. He will not. And here's why, is that in years past, I think he got so much crap for that Montreal speech. Because if you remember, and that was in 2011, right? That's the year they won the Cup.
Mm-hmm.
After they won Game 7, there was a point where he told the camera, I believe he told the cameraman, "Listen, I got something, just cut to me." And he read that speech about the ragtag farmers and all that, and it mm-hmm. went on for like 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think after that, people were just like, "Dude, what the hell did you just do?" And he hasn't done it since. And they've won Game 7s. I mean, they have. They didn't say anything since then.
It's funny because anyone who's around Jack Edwards for more than 2 minutes realizes that he's fully capable of something like that. So Nesson should have known better.
See, I thought it was funny. I thought it was funny.
Of course it was funny. It was great. We're still talking
but
about
it. It was funny at his expense. Like, it was funny. It wasn't. He didn't want it to be funny.
It was so gratuitous.
No, he didn't do it to be funny, but it was funny because it was so stupid. Like, he went on. I mean, how long do you think that thing went on? 2.5 minutes?
I think it was about 2 minutes long.
I mean, 2 minutes in that situation is forever.
Do you have it?
I have it here somewhere.
I would like to hear some of this.
Mike, can you see if you can find that? It was the Ragtag Farmers. It's the Jaguars. I think I put like dramatic music
because we were so close to Patriots Day at the end of the series, you see. You know?
And who has more fun than us?
And who has more fun than us? Are you entertained?
See, I don't mind Jack Edwards. I don't. And I thought that was just like so ridiculous.
He's perfect for this market. Just the homer of homers, man. Seriously.
Well, you're allowed to be a homer.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's not Dave Mishkin, who's, you know, looks like he's going to have, sounds like he's going to have a heart attack. Yeah, I mean, he's fine. I'm curious about his career.
Edwards?
Yeah, because he did all that national work.
He was with ESPN for a decade. He did soccer, too, for a while. And before that, he was actually here as the sports anchor, Channel 7.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was the number two guy on Channel 7. This is back in the early 90s.
He must have just really wanted this gig. He must have just really wanted the Bruins gig, because he's from, like, New Hampshire, right?
I don't know.
It's a good gig. I mean, it's a really good gig.
Yeah.
Here is, I think this is...
Not really, but...
Okay, hang on. Before we play this, just remember, they come back from commercial and he's just standing there by himself.
This is 2013? Oh, 2011. This is 2011. They just beat the first round.
Montreal. They just beat Montreal.
They beat Montreal in seven games.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Brickley is run out of the building.
He's gone. He's gone. Nowhere to be seen. It's just Jack.
Well, as I was driving from the former seat of all NHL power, Montreal, through the free and independent states of Vermont, New Hampshire, and Massachusetts today, it struck me what an odd thing royalty is. Royalty in modern times is something that is perpetuated by those who didn't actually make those great conquering achievements and establish their reigns, but rather those who find themselves, because of a certain location in history and an accident of birth, to be in a position to carry on a tradition. Yet, those royals sit there on their shiny thrones and primp in their hand mirrors and try to dictate morality according to them about how you can dive or how you should play or how you shouldn't run a player into the center glass. And the rest of us, those poor, filthy masses, are just supposed to take it. A couple of hundred years ago, a bunch of rowdy radicals charged out of some Boston bars, went down to the dock, and dumped the King's Tea into the salty sea. And in doing that, it struck a chord that rings true even today. That when confronted with imperious conceit, fighting the good fight is not only the right thing to do.
Hamblin is yelling at the ref! It's not gonna work!
It can be a heck of a lot of fun. And who has more fun than us?
You know what?
I mean,
it would be better without the music. It would be more embarrassing without the music.
Well, of course. I mean, his head just exploded. His head.
Let's see that booty bounce.
That's right. That's the only thing I can explain. The only way I can explain is his head just exploded.
Yeah, he got lost in the moment. But without the music, it's even
cringe-inducing. Right.
All right, what are we going to talk about?
Really? All right, we got some Red Sox news. Despite them not even playing, someone else injured. On top of that, we now officially know who the Celtics are going to play, even though really there was no doubt in the first place.
All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hi, how are you, honey? Hello!
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed. You can eat a lot at one sitting.
95, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Country Rich.
What happened last night?
95, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. We're Dutcher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
So the Red Sox game being postponed due to that torrential downpour in Boston last night. That means we get a doubleheader against the Tigers starting this afternoon. What are they saying? Because 1 o'clock is when
it's supposed
to
rain the entire day.
Oh, you see, I had heard it was going to stop around like 11, but
I thought it was supposed to taper off this afternoon.
All right, I will look at it right now.
No, please do. Once again, and I haven't checked it since last night.
Which weather app are you on now?
Oh, baby, I'm on AccuWeather.
AccuWeather, right. Okay.
Because the first game is scheduled for 1:05, and then the original game is going to be at 7:05.
Oh, yeah, you guys are right. It's supposed to taper off at, supposed to stop at next hour.
Okay. All right, so then hopefully they'll be able to get both of them in, which would be nice.
What time's the first one?
1:05.
Yeah, the weather won't be pleasant. It's going to be in the upper 40s, low 50s, but they should be able to play.
Welcome to April. So, however, in the meantime,
it was April 23rd, by the way.
I know.
After Easter.
It was 70 degrees last week.
Yeah, you get one of those.
Right?
You get one of those a month.
It was raining, but it was 70.
That's right. And then when it stopped, it was like 100% humidity.
Yeah.
You know. That's where you have to wash your balls 18 times a day.
What's the problem?
It's where the TD Garden Ice just says, F you, apparently. So, however, in the meantime, it was announced yesterday that Nathan Eovaldi will have elbow surgery and be out for at least 4 to 6 weeks. The surgery reportedly will be to remove from his right elbow what are being called loose bodies, which also happens to be the name of an 80s film about some dudes on spring break just trying to score. Eovaldi underwent the same type of surgery in 2018 and missed 2 months, so the prediction of 4 to 6 weeks does seem a bit optimistic. How you liking that signing there, John Wallet?
Is it shocking to anyone in this room that this had happened? I think I looked it up earlier. He's pitched one full season in his career.
Yeah,
he has over 30 starts or more once. This was going to happen. I mean, this is part of the package. What he did for the Red Sox was historic. It was necessary. It was fantastic. Everyone has all sorts of respect for him, but look at the injury history. It happens to him almost every season.
And once you're armed, unless you're Nolan Ryan or something, like, you know, once these things start, very difficult to head him off.
Mm-hmm. So he will be gone for a while now, and even though we all saw it coming, we now officially know who the Celtics are going to be taking on in round two.
Giannis is such a good finisher inside that restricted circle. You're shocked when he misses one. Three-pointer, Giannis is up. He nailed it. ABC, easy as 1, 2, 3 for the alphabet. 108-90, and he barks a little bit at the Pistons bench as he runs down the floor.
Whoa, Cedric Maxwell doing the play-by-play. Sounds a little different for the Bucks.
I think they would probably call him the alphabet because of all the letters in his name, and then he's just corny by saying ABC.
Well, ABC, is that the always be closing?
No.
It can be.
No, he's saying ABC is easy as 1, 2, 3. They got to be calling him the alphabet because there's so many letters in his name.
It can't just straight up be a Jackson 5 reference?
Well, I mean, but why would he start the alphabet?
Because he said it's easy as ABC, and then, Jackson
Jesus,
5.
John, then why would he say it's the alphabet?
I don't know. None of this makes sense.
Yes, it does. The alphabet's actually not a bad nickname.
For a Tenacumpo?
Yeah, because there's so many letters in his name.
Okay, I've just never heard that before.
Neither have I, but I mean, that's got to be what it is.
Could be. I immediately thought Glengarry Glen Ross.
Okay.
But then why would you say call him the alphabet?
I don't know.
So,
because he always closes?
No. My
We're trying to, like, either way, there's a lot of reaching if he's play-by-play calls.
I think that's corny that he said ABC, it's easy as 1, 2, 3, but I think the alphabet's a rather clever nickname.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Bucks, who had the best record in the league, are getting ready to go head-to-head once again against Boston when round two starts sometime around July 20th or so. And from the sound of the crowd, the Bucks fans are ready for Boston as well.
That game was in Detroit, right?
Yeah. That was in Detroit. So,
by the way, secondary market tickets for that game in Detroit were going for $18.
Yeah, I saw that.
Why would you want to see that? And speaking of that, thank goodness round one of the NBA playoffs almost over, because the drama was in very short supply. Take that Bucks series, 4-game sweep against a Detroit team that didn't even deserve to be on the same court as the Bucks. The close games have been few and far between, with just 2 of the 30 games so far being decided by 3 points or less. The average margin of victory so far in the NBA playoffs is over 13 points per game.
There's only one series that will probably go to a game 6.
That's that Nuggets-San Antonio
Spurs
game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only series of the 8 that is actually worthwhile.
Well, it's interesting because Tracy sent an article from Fox Sports that ratings in the NBA are down double digits.
Yeah.
From last year.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying it's because LeBron James is there. I say it's because these matchups weren't very good. Like, the first-round matchups were kind of garbage. However, on the other hand, the second-round matchups look awesome. Boston-Milwaukee, Golden State-Houston. Who's not going to watch some of that? How about Philadelphia-Toronto? That's going to be another great one. Yep. So at least you got three that you're going to be looking forward to watching. It should be good. We have Sean Grandy, the voice of your Celtics, in studio with us at 8 a.m. to preview the series. I know, John, you said you watched, because I watched the first half of that game last night, and it was funny. For a moment, Detroit actually looked like they had something going on.
They played really well into the third quarter. Yeah, Detroit played really well into the third quarter. I'm like, okay, you know, game four, you're at home. You don't want to get swept out on your own building. And then Milwaukee just said, all right, we're tired of you. And that was the end of it. And they absolutely blew the Pistons off the floor.
With 4 minutes left in the third, I think they were up by eight, the Pistons.
Yeah, and then Milwaukee just decided to play. I just want to caution everyone, this isn't last year. I mean, the Celtics were better last year. They beat them in seven games. It's different this year. Antetokounmpo is better. They have better bench help. They're not going to have Brogdon for the beginning of the series. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, they're going to update Brogdon's condition over the next few days, and the hope is to get him back at some point during this series. And Brogdon averages about 15 points a game. He's a very good guard. But Antetokounmpo, Middleton, Bledsoe is playing much better this year. Mirotić, although he doesn't play any defense, is a good shooter off the bench. I mean, this is a much better Milwaukee team. And the 60 win should tell you something. I mean, it's different. So this is a very difficult second-round matchup for the Celtics, regardless of how well they're playing.
And you're right. It's going to be tough. But there's also a good argument as to which team improved more from last year's matchup.
Sure.
Because you now have the two best scorers on the Celtics weren't playing last year.
Right. No, look, the Celtics have, talent-wise, they improved a lot more from last year to this year. But Milwaukee is a fantastic team this year.
I mean, it's going to be, in my opinion, a coin toss. I don't know who's going to win it. It'll go the distance. But the one thing that you have on both sides, which makes it truly interesting, is you have legitimate closers on both teams.
Yep.
And Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's a guy, and I guess it happened last night where he once again just took over the game, because there's never a doubt. Just at any point, he can just go, all right, I got this.
He can't shoot threes, and he still takes the game. In today's day and age, you have a guy who is incapable of shooting an open three. I think he airballed one. He was by himself. He had like 3 seconds to get ready and still airballed it. He still is a dominant player. And in today's NBA, that's remarkable. Him and Simmons are the only two that I can think of.
And then you've got, of course, on the Celtics side of things, two legitimate closers. I mean, one definite in Kyrie Irving, and one who seems to be able to take that job if he needed to in Gordon Hayward. I'm just wondering if you're going to bring Drew Bledsoe back for this matchup. It's going to be another Scary Terry mania situation. Do you remember that? That was the most exciting thing from the last series.
That lasted a week, right? That was a thing for a week, and then there were T-shirts after that.
No, seeing how long they stretch out the finals or the NBA playoffs.
But it could have been 2 weeks.
It was about two weeks.
Yeah,
so, hey, I got the shirt. Why not?
Bledsoe got in a couple of plugs for his winery. I remember that, and that was it.
I do remember that, because it was on TV, and it was just like, hey, I'm here with wine.
Yeah, that's right.
Double back wine.
Yeah, he's always with his wine, and it's like Bork with Treska.
Yep.
Because he was just on something. The TVs are just on in here. Mm-hmm. And he was on something, and I was thinking it was, you know, on a local TV. And I'm like, when does he go to Treska? When does he go to Treska? And halfway through it, there he is.
Yep.
Plugging the old restaurant.
Yep. All right. When we come back, we got a little bit of news about tonight's game. Bruce Cassidy speaks, and we will get to some more. Also, Patrice Bergeron. They opines about Gosher's call that we had at the beginning. Someone asked him about the famous 2013 Bergeron call.
And remember, it's very exciting. Today at 11:30 is when Pasta Joe starts his epic 2.5-day adventure through all 22 Avengers movies, something that young Nicholas Jamelli has done. He's seen all 22.
Yeah, but over the course of like 11 years.
Yes, but he has seen all 22.
I think I've probably seen like 19 of them. I think there's only like three I have not seen.
All 22 films, you've seen them.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, what time are we giving away the Bruins tickets? 7:50? Is that right? All right, we got tickets to Game 7 today, too, at 7:50.
All right, here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Monial. There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rich. The real night. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Crazy town. Shifty shell shock on celebrity rehab. Whoever could have guessed these guys weren't going to stick around?
So the top three worst live acts I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I didn't pay to see them. They were on Ozfest.
Yeah. I think I had to see them a couple times. NERD, one of the worst acts because they had to play their hit song twice.
Rockstar, three times. They played three times. They played it three times. In the show, and then they ended with it. And then when they got off stage, somebody told them that they had 25 more minutes on their set list time that they were required to play at this festival, and they went out and played it again.
Well, that was on the Bricks.
Yep.
Where I saw. Okay, so they played it three times?
Three times. I've never seen a band do that before. Like, I thought it was weird that they had played it in the set and then they closed with it.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, maybe they're trying to bookend things and that's really the only song anybody knew. But that was so great when they went off stage and apparently the promoter was like, dude, you got to fill 25 more minutes. And they went out there and jammed for like 10 of it and then played Rockstar again.
Yeah, Pharrell Williams is a very successful producer. I don't know if he knew exactly what was going on with that group.
What he was getting into at that time. Well, people who watched Game 6 of that Bruins Maple Leafs series were probably looking at the television and freaking out when that gigantic head was blocking their view during some fairly important moments to the end of the third period. Well, I guess the NBC Sports Network was contacted by it, and a spokesman said that the camera was partially blocked by the guy's head, and it was not one of the usual cameras that the network uses in that situation. They said, quote, technical difficulties prevented us from using the main game camera for a period of time towards the end of the game, so we had to use a replacement camera, which had a slightly different perspective. Understatement. That perspective was of the back of a dude's head. Now, the spokesman didn't say whether or not someone from the network tried to get the guy to move, which I would think, I mean, of all the people that are working the broadcast, just go down there and just say, dude, can you move your head? Please, you're blocking everybody.
Then I would say, go screw.
If you're that guy.
Yeah, I paid for this seat. It couldn't have been cheap. Go screw. This is my seat. Go, you work around it.
I have to wonder why that doesn't happen more often. Where you don't get, like, one dude's head just blocking everything.
That's a newer building, too. I mean, its sight lines should be better than that.
Because in the NFL, they probably kick you out. Like, just for sitting there?
It's a good point.
Yeah, they seem to be the league that would do that. Be listening this morning at 6:50 for your chance to win a 4-pack of vouchers to see Avengers Endgame, Marvel Studios' grand conclusion to 22 films courtesy of Fandango.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like Bruce Cassidy is excited about tonight's game.
We appear to be healthy. Said I don't. David will play tomorrow, crutch. Tuca's going in, so we'll see what it looks like in the morning, but that's my intention right now.
Okay, I heard Cassidy say that. What's wrong with Tuca, or with David Krejci?
Nothing. It was a
maintenance day.
It was a maintenance day.
Okay, because I heard him say, yeah, Krejci's going to be okay. He's going to play. I was like, he didn't look bad. Didn't see him get injured. I don't know what the deal is, so he will be out there.
He did not practice yesterday, but they're saying it was a maintenance day.
Well, Torrey Krug is excited about having the home ice for tonight's Game 7.
Yeah, it's tough to put into words. It's just a lot of fun. We've worked all year to get home ice, and you know, we're excited to have a chance in front of our home fans to do it once again. So, you know, whatever it takes, that's what comes to mind.
It could be Krug's last game as a Bruin.
There's a chance. There absolutely is a chance. Well, it seems like a lot of people today are going to be talking, as we did earlier in the show, and writing about that Leafs series in 2013, how the Bruins came back, and a lot of people are going to be hearing a
Red Sox score! Bergeron! Bergeron! In Game 7! And the Bruins win the series!
Yep, and Patrice Bergeron was actually asked about that call.
You called Dave Goshen to have him yell Bergeron a couple times.
You know what? That was definitely an amazing moment, and like I said, you feed off of those moments, and you want to be out there. You want to, I guess, get a job done. It's great. I mean, that's why you play hockey. That's why you're as an athlete. I think you have to feed off of that, and I think we all enjoy them, and and it's fun to be a part of.
And, of course, we're going to have tickets to that game at 7:50 right here on our show. And if you didn't see it last night, there was a certain ex-Bruin who made a big difference in one of the series going on.
Knocked down by Ovechkin and then forced out by Walmart. Ovechkin hits the ice, carried back to the line by Connolly, blocked off, empty net. Hamilton shoots, he scores!
Mr. Personality.
Dougie Hamilton. That's right. Everyone loved Dougie Hamilton. Nobody liked Dougie Hamilton.
No, he was being... People were complaining about him being soft last night. I mean, it was the
really?
Same complaints as always.
Come yeah. on.
It's true.
Well,
the same complaints follow him.
All he does is win, apparently.
Yeah.
The series is now tied 3-3.
Norris Trophy candidate.
Which has been a kind of interesting series. I mean, all the way back to when Ovechkin knocked that dude out, which might be my
Svechikov,
favorite moment.
Svechikov, still not playing.
Oh, he isn't?
No.
See, I didn't know that.
Did not play last night.
Okay, how many times in a hockey fight have you seen a guy get knocked out? Like, out. Not knocked down. Knocked out like that guy was.
Not often.
The only time I can remember, well, it's happened, I'm sure, a lot. I remember when Thornton had to fight John Scott, and Scott just landed an over. It happens. I mean, Scott's 6'8", 270, or whatever he was, landed an overhand right, and Thornton didn't know where he was was out.
If you YouTube Bob Probert, I'm sure there's a couple in there.
Yeah, but no, that recently, especially in the playoffs, recently, it's been a while. Since you've seen a one-punch knockout like
that. In the playoffs, I bet you it's been 20 years.
Yeah.
Well, the Dallas Stars are moving on. They defeated the Predators as well. So there you go. Tyler Seguin moves on to the second round.
Have fun with in the second round.
And have fun with that. And, Fred, this news is just strictly for you. We're going completely off the page here. And that is your friend Vinny from the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, Vinny, he's the shy, intelligent one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's got that new show. What's it called? Double Shot of Love? Him and Paulie D?
Yeah, that's the name.
If you had to guess how many women Vinny has slept with in his life, how many would you say?
Well, according to Snooki, he's very well endowed. In fact, when he did it with Angelina, Snooki said she was loosey-goosey. Her exact quotes. So I would say Vinny has been single... I would say Vinny has had sex with 80 women.
John, take a guess.
I was going to go lower.
It might be lower because he doesn't like, you know what? I'm going to go back to it. I'm going to say 8.
Yeah, having not seen the show and the way you're setting it up, I was going to say like a dozen.
Well, Vinny was on Boomer and Geo.
Jesus. Oh, that, come on.
What the hell?
We got
better ratings than them.
He's in New York. He was actually in studio.
So what? He was in Boston. Why can't he do it here?
Why we can't get Paulie D is insane.
Not.
The fact that we can't get Paulie D is insane.
No.
Like, he's right down the road.
Vinny's staying out.
And that actually pisses me off.
My mistake.
Vinny's right there. But Paulie D, there's no reason we shouldn't
It's
have
under
him
10. It's under 10.
How many women have you been with? Because I feel like that would be a question, a girl question to you because of who you are, reality star, living in a house. Like, this guy's probably, I mean, his number's got to be like Will Chamberlain-like.
Their body count?
Yeah.
Nah, I've never been asked that by a woman.
Really?
Nah.
Well, we'll ask it here then.
How much time do we have?
are we over 100?
Oh, yeah.
Are we over 200?
Probably.
Mm. Are we over 500?
Probably
500.
I don't know. I have no idea. I feel disgusting right now. It's been 10 years. Like, I've had a good time.
I think you've had a really good time.
Over 1,000
to connect with anybody.
1,000? I don't know.
Could be 1,000.
I could be.
And so this is a conversation that doesn't come up with someone who may have a long term relationship with you that you've been with possibly 1,000 women.
That's a question that guys ask girls. Girls don't ask guys that question. But
that to me sounds like between 500 and 1,000 women.
Vinny, you liar. Vinny said that he doesn't that he's done with his Playboy ways.
Why would you think otherwise, though?
Because he had a girlfriend in one of the seasons and didn't cheat on her.
But isn't that like just an angle, like a scripted angle? If you're like a star, and when did Jersey Shore come out? Like 9 years ago? Like the first season of Jersey Shore?
The 10th anniversary was last year.
So think about that. So he has been an MTV star for 10 years. And if he said 500, that would, it's like 50 a year. That wouldn't surprise me. A different one a week?
Four different ones. One different one each week.
Yeah.
Vinny is all talk then. He goes on Boomer and Geo and he just starts flipping the script.
That's what Vinny gets. What do you think Paulie D's hitting?
Vinny is supposed to be the level-headed one. He likes monogamy.
Well, then Pauly D is just going to be like in the, what, five digits?
Oh, yeah, because Pauly D's old, too, like older. So I bet you Pauly D got laid before that a lot.
And he does all that, those Vegas shows, too.
Yeah, so I bet you he's been with double what Vinny's been with. Vinny hasn't been with 1,000 women.
But it sounds like he's been, or at least he's saying with confidence, 500.
Yeah, well, you know, Vinny, you let me down. Double shot of love, the whole thing is that, hey, Pauly's the player and Vinny's the guy. He's like the cerebral one. Vinny! Liar! All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something.
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Car number 10 of the Pride Motor Group contest line 617-931-0985. We'll score a 4-pack of vouchers to see Avengers Endgame, Marvel Studios' grand conclusion to 22 films, courtesy of Fandango.
Did you hear the report that happened over the weekend? Or maybe you guys talked about it on Friday, that somebody went to, I forget what website it was, with the Robert Kraft sex tape. And they said
they went to Jerry Thornton.
No, they went to, it wasn't Jerry Thornton that it was originally. They might have gotten to him, too. Did they do that as well?
The way I understood it is that Jerry Thornton was, or someone around there, was offered the tape.
Okay.
But I might have read it wrong. That's probably 50-50 chance I read it wrong.
It was like the New York Post who reported that there was a website who said that somebody approached them and showed them a clip of the tape, and the people watched it and they confirmed that this was indeed it. And I guess it's like an overhead camera that films him like he's lying down and his arms are behind his back. It's like, it looks like they put the camera right in the ceiling. So of course, Robert Kraft's lawyers hear this news and they immediately go down and talk to the, I think they, aren't they suing the police department for this thing being like apparently shopped around and leaked?
Mm-hmm.
So you know that it, I mean, hearing that, somebody's going to pay for it. The only problem is that if somebody, like, if that website was to run that video, is there anything that Kraft's lawyer could do to them? Like, I was trying to think, like, legally, could they sue, like if TMZ ran the video, like let's say they purchased the Robert Kraft video, could Robert Kraft sue TMZ, or is there no legal recourse in that situation?
What would the, I mean, once it's out, I mean, you sue the person who sold the video to TMZ.
I guess the reason is that Gawker was brought down because they put a video out that was obtained illegally. And right now there's question. And Gawker was destroyed because of it. So I'm wondering if that's why it's not out yet, because most most places do usually will leak this. Like if it's being sold, there's really no reason that TMZ doesn't have it, because TMZ will pay whatever. I mean, they're going to try to get the clicks. They're going to try to be the one to get the story. But I believe that the reason that nobody probably has leaked it yet is there's after that Gawker situation, and there's still the question as to whether or not it was obtained illegally. That might be why nobody's biting. I think that Gawker thing changed everything.
Well, the Gawker thing is more than that. Is the Gawker thing had a guy who they, super rich guy who they had gotten into it with, that basically financed, spent millions of dollars for Hulk Hogan to go against them because he ultimately wanted to ruin the site.
Yeah, Peter Thiel. But he was right. I mean, in the end, like, you know, the guy, there might have been a lot of money behind it.
Well,
but
Delario didn't do himself any favors in that. But
he couldn't have handled it any worse.
No. So, yeah, he handled it quite poorly.
So I was thinking
I don't think it's the same situation, but I don't know.
But I think that, and it might not be, but I also believe that these websites are being extra careful after that. Because not only did it ruin just the Gawker site, I mean, it ruined Gawker Media, which was worth a ton at the time. And a lot of these guys still can't work because of it. So I think that
also the only reason that some no-name website's the only one who spoke about it is I think anyone that's been approached to it is trying to stay off the radar. Just like, I want to keep my hands clean of any of this. And I also think that a lot of these websites believe that there's a pretty good chance that it's going to get released legally anyway, or they're going to be able to obtain it legally. So why not just sit and wait for that to happen?
Well, if it's out, it's going to be on 4chan or Reddit. I mean, it will be. I mean, there's no way it won't. I mean, the Fappening came out.
Yeah, but that was someone who hacked a bunch of people's accounts.
No, I know, but it came out. I mean, if this video is going around, I mean, it might not be TMZ that puts it out, but there's going to be a message, or not a message, not necessarily a message board, but Reddit or 4chan or something. I mean, it's going to come out. This video is going to come out. I mean, if someone has it.
Well, I mean, that's what I was thinking. If someone's shopping it around, because let's say the police are doing the best that they can to try to keep this secure, and they've got it on their own server, and it's something that can't be hacked. It's like a hard drive or whatever. If somebody else has it and is going to all these places and giving you a clip, you're right. Person could get hacked. Yeah,
like, but what are the... So if I go around and I try to sell it, and no one will buy it, I mean, what am I going to just... I mean, I'm going to release... I'm just going to put it up. Put it up on 4chan or something. I mean, they will. I mean, it's going to come out.
See, I don't know if they would do that without I think it's going to come out.
No,
that guy who's shopping it around.
Then the clip that the guy is showing. The guy who's shopping it around, trust me, one way or another, it's going to come out.
And I was wondering that because I was thinking it's like if this is getting shopped around and it's still not out. I think that Gawker thing changed everything. I think everyone's afraid to bite right now.
Fine. It won't be on TMZ, but it's going to come out somewhere. It's going to come out underground, and then that's going to go to the top.
Honestly, the police department's being painted by Kraft's lawyers as a bunch of backward-ass hicks who don't know what the hell they're doing at this point. I mean, you don't think that someone in that department is going to... Whoops! You know, someone hacked our server.
No, someone has it.
Well, no, but I mean,
according to this report, someone's got it.
Rich is saying someone outside of... I mean, it's not a matter of if the video gets out. Apparently, the video is out.
Yeah, somebody... Well, if you believe what this guy said from whatever website it is, I mean, it sounds fairly credible that he saw it and he was able to confirm that it was him. I don't know what benefit he would have to make up that story.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess it would drive traffic to their website, seeing that it's a no-name website.
All I know is that something like this doesn't exist without getting out somewhere on the internet. And it's going to start off somewhere underground, and then word of mouth is going to spread, and people are going to start screen capping it and start to showing the video, and then it's going to go viral.
Has there been a case where there was a video that didn't come out? And I think we had one.
Brett Michaels, but this was before the internet is what it is, but Brett Michaels and Pam Anderson never came out.
Scott Stapp backstage never came out.
But I saw
a tease. No, we saw a tease, but there was apparently a full-on video.
I saw an 8-minute video of it.
Was he naked in it?
Yep.
See, I didn't see that.
Yeah, he's on a chair. And he's like, it's good.
Well, you see, I've seen that where it goes, it's good to be the king, but I didn't think it was.
No, I've seen an 8-minute clip, but I don't even know if I watched all 8 minutes because it was just Scott Stapp. It was just like, wow, Scott Stapp is getting it. Good for him. No, it will come out. Don't you worry. No, if you want to watch it or not, that's up to you. But once someone has something on the internet, it's not like it just goes up and then people look at it, a few people look at it and go, wow, no. It's a virus. I mean, people will take the video and they'll copy it. Then they'll put it up. Then people will look at that and copy it. And before you know it, a million people have it.
That is so fascinating to me, though, that if it is being shopped around, no one has put it out there.
No.
I just don't think they want their fingerprints on it. I think that they realize that, it's the road to ruin. If you're a reputable website, but one that has, a lot of money behind it, you could lose it in an instant if you end up doing this the wrong way. You've got to be 1,000,000% sure nowadays that this isn't something that can get you in trouble in the end legally.
But if someone has it, that's not with the police department or with the involved in the suit. I mean, you have to admit it's coming out one way or another. It's not. It's going to come out, and that would really freak me out if I was Kraft. I would not like that one bit.
We were talking about this Friday, Rich. I mean, live in fear like this?
The Pam Anderson and Brett video is out.
Oh, well, then I can't think of an example of anything.
There was one we had the other day that it never came out, and I'm trying to remember what it was.
Well, do you remember Vince Neil with Janine? And it's so sad that you can't watch more than a second of it. They're like in Jamaica, and Vince Neil gets like drops his pants and then turns around and jumps into the bed with a big smile on his face. Oh, man. The Gene Simmons video was wild.
Well, not that way. I did see that one.
Well, that's just sad.
That was just...
You can't even see anything in it, even though the camera's right there.
I'm not taking the shirt off. I don't care.
No, he just literally... He could have been asleep. And the woman could have been watching, like, someone, an old man, blow his nose in a handkerchief, judging by the way her face was. Not a lot of ecstasy going on each way. The girl was good-looking, but it was not exactly a passionate endeavor.
He put on, like, the radio.
It's just funny because the Gene Simmons video came out and no one cared. Like, no one cared. Well, if the Bret Michaels, Pam Anderson thing, because they fought in court and won, and if that came out, I mean, there's no stopping it. What, if they got you on video, there's no stopping it. It's going to come out. So, I mean, and that's something that sucks. Like, when someone goes, like, I'm going to hit you, but I'm not going to tell you when.
Yep.
And you just, and it makes it 10 times worse.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be a year from now. And then, but
it, eventually, I mean, it happens.
Yeah, you'll be able to see it. All right. Does anyone not love Esposito? He is a treasure. And Rich found Esposito on a show where not only talking about hockey without caring, he's tackling the issues that affect our lives as North Americans. And he will have that for you. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.